Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Hello, welcome to Journeys of the Light. This is John White. This is Lilydale Radio, and we're on the road, and we're in Venice, okay? And we'll get back to Pat in a few moments, as she's going to talk about her beautiful church here, and her husband Robert will be on with us also. Lilydale Radio is coming from Lilydale, New York, and we'd like to welcome our listeners from England, Australia, and all over North America. Well, let's start off with a little poem. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be? Intuitive, creative, and intelligent. Well, who are you not to be? You're a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. You were born to make manifest the glory of God that's within you. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And when you let your light shine, you unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. And as you are liberated from your fears, your very presence automatically liberates others, Robert. Okay, so here we are at Lilydale Talk Radio, and the show is called Journeys of the Light. The Lilydale program should be out soon, and so you can go on to lilydaleassembly.com, and the whole program will be there, and all the different workshops, and all the different people that will be coming to Lilydale this summer. There's approximately, I believe, around 300, 350 workshops that will be held this summer. And one of our special guests will be Brian Weiss. Brian Weiss is one of the people that is doing past life regressions for the purpose of therapy and helping people. And we also have some special guests literally from all around the world. So, if you've never been to Lilydale before, we definitely welcome you to come. Lilydale was also called the City of Light, the City of Light. Let your light so shine forth that we may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And so Lilydale is a place where people come for healing. And right now, actually, in Lilydale at this very moment, if you are in Lilydale, you can go up to the Healing Temple, and there are different healers from the three different churches that are working and also receiving messages. And we also have part of a winter program, and we have some beautiful mediums from England that are with us this year, and also some North American Native Indigenous people, and also people from South America. So again, if you're in Lilydale, stop by and definitely say hello. For those of you who are coming to Lilydale, since there is approximately 30,000 people that come in the summertime, if you see a special workshop that you want to get in on and you want to stay on the grounds, there's two major hotels and there's about 10 different, you could say bread and breakfast places that you can go. But it's good that you try to get in early because the weekends do have a tendency to go fast. So at Lilydale, you can also, if you're training to be a medium, three times a day, you can stand up in front of hundreds of people and you can practice your mediumship. Because Lilydale is all about education. You know, Einstein said, the intuitive mind is a sacred gift and the rational brain is a faithful servant. We have created a society where we honor the servant and forgotten the gift. So at Lilydale, we teach you what is known as intuitive literacy. So there's academic literacy, there's emotional literacy, There's physical literacy, and there's also intuitive literacy. You know, there was at one time a superstition that only some special people could learn how to develop their intuition. Well, let me tell you a secret. Many, many years ago, when only a few people knew how to read and write, there was a superstition that you had to be special. Now, let me tell you right now, and I'm not trying to be funny, if your right brain, literally, your right brain is intact, because that's where this ability comes from, you can learn how to develop what in the Bible is called the abilities to discern the spirit. Now, I always like to ask this question, and we're going to get to our special guest very soon, is there any spiritual master teacher, I said spiritual master teacher that you know that never meditated? And if you do, I would like to know what their name is. You see, because when you meditate, you go into the same part of the brain that you go into when you're asleep at night, but you're wide awake at the same time, so you get to use a different part of your brain. And it is in that different part of the brain where these gifts of the Spirit come. Now, why do we call them gifts of the Spirit? Well, they were given to you before you were born. And it's just like I'm here now with Reverend Pat at the Angels Ministry. We're teaching classes in development and intuition, and there's also healing going on here. And so this is literally education. And so now listen, there is no such thing as a learning disability. There is only an inability to be taught the way that you learn. And so you have to figure out how you learn. So just like you have to figure out how you learn academically, you have to figure out how you learn intuitively. And everybody has that gift. Everybody has the gift of intuition. Well, in a few moments, I'm going to turn it over to Pat just for a few moments and her husband. And we're going to talk about, as the Angels Ministry is an ongoing church here, it's been here for many years. Pat, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Pat.
Hello, John. Thank you. It's lovely to have you here this evening. I know that you've traveled down from Orlando and all over the place, which you always do, and it's our great pleasure to host you here at the Angel Ministries in Venice for our 14th year. I don't know if you realize it was 14 years. I see you shaking your head, but it is 14 years this year, John, and we always look forward to your journey down to Venice in Florida. Well, I opened the
church. About your church.
Okay. I opened the church just over 20 years ago, and it was a spiritual journey. As many of you can hear, I'm from England. And one day one of my guides stood before me and said, you're going to America and you're going to open a church. And hence, here I am. The church is a little bit different. Some people might say a little bit spooky-wooky, but that's only my sense of humor. Otherwise, you wouldn't be visiting. It's a non-denominational church, very non-denominational. We welcome absolutely everybody and anyone. We have three services a week.
And what time are your services?
Well, the Sunday morning is at 10:30, and the Thursday evening and the Sunday evening is at 6:30. In the service, we do half an hour's healing before, and then we have not a traditional, but a very light-hearted service, and then we have mediums work. There could be one, two, half a dozen, or six, seven, eight. I never really know who comes. And they just turn up, and they're all trained people. But some people just have natural intuitive knowledge. We also have, which I just come finished now, is a free healing clinic every Wednesday. And that's from 4 till 6:30. And at the moment, we're probably healing between 40 and 50 people every Wednesday. So we also, we're a college. We teach everything that you and I are very capable of doing. Me, not as good as you, John. But he's looking a little concerned now. I'm going to pass you back to John for a moment.
Pat, I'm giving some classes here on Saturday. I believe it's on mediumship.
Correct.
Right? Now, there's two classes. One's on developing your mediumship and spiritual guides. And obviously, the other one is very similar, isn't it?
The other one is past life regression.
It's past life regression. Okay.
Which you're very good at, John.
Thank you. Now, you know, we have another guest at the table here, Robert Doyle. And this is Pat's partner. Why don't you just say hello to everybody in Australia, England, and all around the world?
Hello, everybody in Australia. You can just imagine my sitting here with two incredible mediums, Reverend John White, Reverend Patricia Chani, who I have the great honor of being married to for the last few years. They've talked about the church and what they do, the many courses that we offer for people to help them develop and grow in what they do. Angel Ministries is simply a place where you come and you have fun. We help people, we teach people, we show people with the many classes that we offer during the month and year. It's always an incredible but pleasurable struggle to add different courses. So having John here is always a great highlight of that year. So thank you for putting up with me for a few minutes, and I'll give you back to John.
Okay. Thanks, Robert. Pleasure to be here. Pat, let's talk a little bit about mediumship since one of the classes, okay? Pat, do you believe that there are some people that are naturally have that gift? But what do you feel about people? Do you feel that some people could also educate themselves in that gift?
Absolutely, John. I was one of the fortunate people that were born this way. I didn't understand that everybody wasn't the same as me. But we offer many classes teaching people how to make that connection to their angels, to beings outside of this world. And one of the first things we get them to learn is how to heal. We teach Reiki, we teach other modalities at the church, but I often watch people that start healing, and then they come and work with our masters in the free healing clinic, and you just see them start to glow, and you see them begin to evolve and get rid of all the negative things that are around them, and it's a miracle. It truly is a miracle, John.
Beautiful. Now, Pat, I personally believe that the purpose of all forms of mediumship is to heal people, is to heal and help people. Let's talk about spirit guides, because I believe we're going to talk about spirit guides inside the mediumship class. Do you know who your spirit guides are? Is that an unusual question?
No, not for me, John. My doctor is Dr. Schaefer. My master is James. One of my favorite guides, mind you, I shouldn't say that right now with the others, they could be listening, is Irish. He's always with me. Crystal is my joy guide. And I have many, many, many others. They come, some of them, and they teach me what I need to know or help me at certain times. I have a hair angel. You can tell by my hair. I have to do a lot of work with it. And I just call on my hair angel, and my angel will come in, and my hair never looks a mess. What can I tell you?
Well, Bob and I can't clean that, but you can.
Anything that I have a painting angel.
Tell us about that.
Okay. He's actually Chinese, and I used to do a lot of faux finishing. As you remember, at one stage I was doing some artistry in plaster.
Yes.
And I'm trying to think, I can't quite remember his name because I haven't spoken to him for quite a while. One day I went out on a job and he told me that I needed to paint all of this black and touch it in with gold. And I thought to myself, oh my God, if I do this, if it goes wrong or doesn't look correct or the client doesn't like it, I'm not going to be able to turn this black plaster work back into white. But I trusted him. I trusted him 100%. And I went with it. And can I tell you, John, it was unbelievable.
Beautiful.
It just was beautiful.
Beautiful. You know, Pat, we actually have a caller, so let's just see who's on the line.
Okay.
Hello, can you hear us?
Oh, I think that must be me. Is that right?
That's you.
Oh.
Introduce yourself.
First time caller. I don't know if this is an answerable question, but I'm just dealing with my father who is alive and has vastly advancing dementia. And someone involved with Lilydale told me once that their spirit actually is quite present, even though they're really don't know. I mean, he's quite disoriented. And, you know, I just wanted to get a sense of if there was anything he was unable to tell me, even though he, you know, we talk kind of, but there's just so much that's not said. Is that something that you could get a sense with?
Okay, let me try to tune into that. First of all, where are you phoning from?
Hamburg.
Hamburg, New York.
New York.
Okay. New York, yes. And what is your name?
Kevin.
And what is your father's name?
Robert.
Okay, let me go visit Robert. You know, when I'm tuning into Robert, I feel his mother around him. Okay? Does your father have a brother in the spirit world?
No, he doesn't, but he's extremely close to him. His brother is his closest, you know, person in the world.
His closest in the world, his brother is in the world still.
Yes.
Okay, good. So the reason, what I'm doing is I'm visiting your father right now. So he must be thinking about your brother and his brother. And I get a feeling what's going on is that your father's mother is trying to comfort him. Okay? Now, when your father goes to sleep, he doesn't have that dementia. Like, his mind is very clear. All right? And what's going on with your father now? You could say that his brain is in survival. Since his brain is in survival, being very intuitive is part of the survival thing. And so your father will feel things that other people are feeling without them saying things. So it's very important that when you're around your father, anybody's around your father physically, that you know that you try to keep it positive as possible. Okay?
Yes.
The other thing I get with your father also. Now, remember, I'm not a doctor. Is he falling? Is he falling down, or what's he doing there?
He lives in Florida. You didn't ask that, but he lives far away from us, so we don't really get to visit him much. And we're like in the place now of figuring out, do we have to get him in a home or what are we going to do? But yeah, he could be falling. I mean, and we don't even know.
When I'm in his energy, I get a feeling of the dizziness with him.
Okay? Dizziness.
Yeah, actually, I'm in Venice, Florida. Where in Florida is your father?
Oh, he's in Naples.
In Naples. Okay, not too far from where we are. Okay. The other feeling is, Pat, do you have any feelings about, say your father's name again, Robert. Do you have any feelings about Robert?
Well, one of the things, I had a nursing home when I was younger back in the UK, and I worked with a lot of people with dementia and Alzheimer's. And as they got further and further into their illness, I noticed that many of them spent much more time in spirit than they did here. And it wasn't that their brains were, or they weren't uncomfortable, because their loved ones in spirit become so close to them that they receive 90% of their comfort from the people on the other side. And I've noticed that a lot. And as John said, and he's absolutely correct, that your dad's mum is right there with him and just giving him all of the love and the nurturing, and the taking those fear away that people get when they're getting ready or to pass over. So it's a very positive thing.
Okay, thank you, Pat, and I do get a feeling that you're, this is only my interpretation, your father's not going to be able to live alone much longer. He really does. He really does need help, okay?
Yeah, we know.
Okay, thank you very much for calling us tonight.
Thank you both for your help. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Yes, when we are very ill, as you know, Pat, what happens is that our brain goes into survival type. Many years ago, I was very ill in a hospital, and everybody who walked into my room with an attitude, I wish they weren't there, because I felt them, okay? And I had an uncle who passed on, and he was in a coma. And when you're in a coma, again, your intuitive brain is very sharp, because that's part of survival. So it's better, when you go visit people in hospitals, is to try to be positive, and don't bring your stuff there. Leave it outside, because they do need healing. Okay, and so I'm going to tell you a story about one of my guides, okay? Because the second class that we're doing is regression. And many years ago, I was regressed into a past life. I thought it was very interesting, but didn't take any note of it. And I saw myself as a Tibetan monk, and I was being taught how to do soul traveling. But I think I was a very naughty monk, and I was playing with it. So anyways, I didn't take any note of it. But in this lifetime, laying in bed one night, I slipped into what is called a lucid dream. Lucid dreaming is that when you're dreaming and you're conscious that you're dreaming, and that Tibetan monk that I met in a past life showed up at my bedside and took me off into the spirit world, literally, to go visit my grandfather who lives there. And so we can also meet our guides through past life, okay? And I believe that there is something called sacred contracts. Sacred contracts means the agreements that our soul made before we came into the world. So, Pat, what do you think? Do you think that we've known our guides before we come here, and why are they attracted to us?
Oh, I definitely think that our main guides are with us through many, many lifetimes, John. Sometimes it's a commitment, sometimes we invite them, and sometimes they're always with us, no matter how many lives we come back here to.
Yes, and I believe also that if you have a specific talent,
in this lifetime that you agree to, I believe that once you get to know who your guides are, they will help you to meet people accidentally on purpose so that you can develop those skills. What is your thought about that?
Oh, that's absolutely correct, John. Very correct. I can remember once I went into a past life, and it was probably one of the funniest things I've ever experienced. Somebody was taking a test on past life regression. She was a teacher. So when I went back into this life, I went back to being an urchin in London. I have no idea how many years ago. But the worst thing was I was covered in lice. And the moment I went back into the life, I couldn't stop itching. And I couldn't wait to get out of that life again and stop itching, John.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Now, I believe there's nothing black and white, but there are three main things that we can learn about ourselves in past lives. We can learn about phobias and fears that we may have experienced then. And Brian Weiss is coming to Lilydale. That's his specialty. And the other one is natural talents. If you see yourself in a past lifetime doing certain disciplines, studying in a certain environment, if you reproduce those scenarios in this lifetime, you could awaken have the natural talents. And of course, the other one is relationships. Okay, now we want to tell you a little bit of a secret about relationships, but please don't tell anybody because it'll spoil everything. Okay, all relationships are sacred. Okay, and some of the most difficult relationships that you've been in perhaps are the ones that you have learned. You know, you probably heard me say this before, Pat, that when you say to a person, "I love you," what you're really saying is, "I like myself a lot when I'm with you." Now, why do I like myself a lot when I'm with you? Well, here's the secret. Don't tell anybody that the soul is going to have an opportunity to learn all about itself. Of course, years later, you would say, "My God, what was I thinking?"
Mm-hmm.
What was I thinking? But it's all about learning and growing. It's all about learning and growing. And so past lives, we can learn, again, natural talents and how to awaken and develop them. And we could also learn about phobias and fears. And we could also learn about relationships. I want to just bring a subject up just for a moment to tell you how powerful the mind is. There was a little book many, many years ago that was called Psychic Discoveries Behind the Iron Curtain. And in Montreal, Canada, where I live, and being part of a very large spiritual science fellowship, we invited a lot of those writers that and psychics and mediums that worked for the KGB when the wall came down.
Oh, okay.
And there's something called artificial reincarnation. Okay, this is how powerful the mind is. We took a person who knew how to play the piano. They hypnotized him over and over and over again until they actually convinced him that he was Beethoven. And guess what? He starts to play like Beethoven because he believes he is. Okay. Yes, and so when being regressed into a past life, if you get the person deep enough and you can bypass and go into the subconscious mind, basically that's where the healing takes place. So when we teach people how to build their past life, whether you live before or not, or whether you believe you live before or not, it's all irrelevant. The purpose is a very healing tool to help you develop your skill. Okay, Robert, do you have any stories about guidance or a guide in your life?
Guides in my life?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Guides in my life is a great question, actually. Coming down here over the last few years and, again, getting introduced into the Church of the Angels Ministry, I've captured and actually didn't coin the phrase, "I wish I could," from the Magnificent Seven. I know I have seven. The first guide came to me in a state that was, as John said, between awake and asleep. And he stood before me, and I had no fear, there was no doubt that he had come to tell me something. He stood before me, and I said, "Are you me?" And he said, "No, I'm you." I said, "All right, then, wise guy, what's your name?" He said, "Gus." I said, "Gus, that's not your real name." He says, "No, you have to figure it out." you have to take the time to learn to meditate better, learn to concentrate better, but know I'm always with you. And there are six more. And I said, all right, can you tell me who those six are? He just laughed, turned away and said, when you start to figure it out, come and see me again. I saw the second guy turned out to be my grandmother. And I was completely amazed because I knew all my life since I had been a child that she was with me. And one time, just a quick story, she had told me when I was feeling sad over something, I had dwelled on it too long. She walked up to me before she had passed and tapped me on the back of my head and said, get over it. Let it go. And every time to this day that I fall into that mode, I feel the tap in the back of my head. So our guides are with us, and it's exciting to find out who they are. It's exciting to take the time to meditate, learn, and concentrate who they are. So when John's talking about past life regression and many of these things, anything that can help you to discover this is certainly worth pursuing. So with that said, I'll probably talk too long, so I'll give you continue with it. I had the fortune in going on to this life to find out about, I always knew, I grew up in a wonderful family. Step back there for a minute. I had a great family, a wonderful mother and father. I was blessed all my life, staunch in a particular religion. And I said, fine, I don't understand it. I don't know how to accept it. My father would look at me for many times. He said, why do you seem to resist this? And I said, because I'm not seeing the answers. I'm not being directed. Because I'm feeling things going. So I followed that path. And I didn't know in those days I was following spirit. Spirit was telling me what I needed to know and where I needed to go. But the key was I listened. I accepted the fact that there were other things beyond our perception that we needed to listen to, that we needed to hear. All through my life, I was in immense situations. I was in a war. I was in all these things that you think, how are you going to survive? But Spirit always told me, I'm going to go home. I'm going to find what I need to find. And I believed in that. And that always carried me through. Exactly what it's called, both John and Reverend Pat could probably tell you the right words. But the fact is that you feel these things, you take your time to step back and listen to what your angels and your guides have to say. They'll always tell you the truth. If you take the steps you need to learn how to make your life better, it will get better. But that's all I can really add to that. All I know is I stand here today, or sit here today is probably the best thing, and know that going to the Church of the Angels, working with people like Reverend John White, I continue to learn. And that journey never ends, and that journey is exciting and fulfilling, and it'll make your life better. So thank you again for putting that to me, and here's John.
Thank you. You know, Pat, just like Robert was saying, we can have also family members who are can come and be our guides. Ever since my father passed on, when I'm doing a reading, he seems to bring everybody's father through. So it's like that skill has developed itself because my father passed on. And he didn't really, I don't think he knew too much about this. But of course, being a little bit of a medium and a psychic, after he passed on, I remember one time I went upstairs where he lived, where I used to live, and I just felt him walking through the hallway. And of course, you know, when you sense spirit, all of a sudden you always say something silly. Like I said, what are you doing here? You know? But he's been with me ever since, and he does help me do the readings. And of course, my mother also. Sorry, I was at my mother's funeral many, many, many years ago. And again, when you see spirit, all of a sudden you always say something silly. And I remember my mother standing in front of her casket in spirit. They said, why don't you come back later? There's more people coming. Well, you always say something silly because you're just shocked, okay? But I've had the opportunity, perhaps you, Pat, and also Bob, that your ancestors, now that we know this truth and we can feel this ability to discern the spirit, we feel the spirits around us. And it's possible to be lonely, but it's impossible to be alone. Pat, do you have any stories about any of your ancestors coming to visit you?
I've had one of Bob's.
Okay.
When we got married, we were up in New Hampshire, and it was my introduction to his family, and he has four brothers and four sisters. And his eldest brother showed me this picture, and it was really old British-style picture. And I thought, oh, well, that's very interesting. So I said, you know, I'd really like that to study when we're not with all these people. So he said, okay, well, when we returned home here to Florida, I was kind of woken up one night, and sitting at the foot of my bed was this blonde lady with playing a piano. And I kind of acknowledged her and said hello and said, you know, I really need to go back to sleep. Can you go and play somewhere else? Well, the very next day, a copy of that picture arrived. And when I opened it up, there was only one blonde in there, and it was the lady that was playing the piano at the bottom of my bed.
That was my great-great-grandmother Pritchard. That was in England.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Isn't that amazing? Hey, Pat, we have someone online. Let's see what they come up. Hello, you with the Reverend Pat and John. How can we help you?
Yes, hi. I was wondering if I could get any insight on I've been looking for a home on the East Coast, and I was just wondering if you could do like a remote viewing and just let me know if you think this is a good fit at all.
Okay. Well, first of all, introduce yourself and where are you calling from?
Oh, sure. My name is Miranda. I'm calling from California.
You're calling from California. Okay. Well, let's see what we get. Now, I don't know if it's old news or new news. Are you around Los Angeles right now, or are you thinking of moving around Los Angeles?
No. Actually, I'm planning to move away from California to the East Coast.
Did you ever live around Los Angeles?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, I'm supposed to tell you what I get, so I'm just going to, when I tune into you, there's a feeling of Los Angeles around you. Let me do it this way. Give me a specific target. Give me a state or a city on the East Coast where you think you would like to go live.
I'm thinking of New Jersey, and the house number I could give you the house number as well,
yeah,
if that would be helpful.
Yeah, I could do that. Go ahead.
175.
Okay. This is unusual. As soon as I go there, I get a feeling of some of your ancestors who have passed on have already been there. I get a feeling of they picked it out for you.
Oh, really?
Really? I really did get that.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Now, how do you personally feel about that? Besides what I said, how do you feel about that place?
You know, I've only seen the online pictures, and I'm contemplating going, like, making a trip out to see it in person. But I wanted to get your sense.
I really
I like
think you
what
should
I...
go because I do get a feeling your ancestors are already there. Okay.
In this particular house. Uh-huh.
Yes, in that particular house. Okay. So not only are you looking for a place, but your ancestors are helping you to find a place also. All right? And I do get a feeling if I over... Now, there's something called... what's that called when your astrology tells you where you would do... there's a type of astrology that... I forget the name of it. It's called when you move to a certain place, it tells you where in North America you would do very good. Okay?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get that feeling. What was it, Bob?
Deja vu.
Okay. I get a feeling of you're really supposed to move there, okay? And when you're there also, I'm not a doctor, but I get a feeling of you'll feel emotionally a lot better about yourself. So therefore, your health will improve, and you'll obviously get a lot more. You'll get a lot more energy when you're there. When I'm there also, I'm seeing certificates or something to do with education that I feel as though that you'll be pursuing also. Okay? You're not Italian, are you?
No, I'm not. No.
Well, I just saw you moving into a place where, there's, believe it or not, there's tomatoes in the backyard. So I don't. Not that you have to be Italian to enjoy tomatoes in the backyard, okay? But I just seem to sense that around you. And I get a feeling, when you're there, I believe that you're going to want to do something to upgrade the kitchen a little bit because you obviously have some ancestors that were very good at cooking, and they would like you to eat at home a little bit more, okay?
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Thank you for calling us, honey.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, so we were talking about different guys and teachers and loved ones in our life. Let me tell you a story about an uncle of mine who passed on. He was around 78 years old. He passed on with alcoholism. And, it's really quite a humorous story. There he is laying in his hospital bed. He was kind of spiritual in his own way. So, you know, it says that we have so much energy, okay? So just before he passes on, he's in a coma, he sits up, and he starts singing all his spiritual songs, and he wants everybody in the room to sing with him. Of course, they all freaked out. I wish I was there. I would have done it with him. But anyway, several years later, like Bob, you were talking about the lucid dreams, and Pat, you were talking about those lucid dreams. There he is standing at the end of my bed, looking around 23 years old, vibrant, and he's holding a little puppy in his hand. Well, 3 years later, that little puppy came into our life. It was actually, we called the puppy Jimmy. It was one of my mother's, that was the name of one of my mother's favorite pets. Okay? And Jimmy's in the spirit world now, back with mom. But if I was even thinking of being nasty with my dog, that dog, I would hear my mother say, "Don't you even think of it." Okay, so there's a story of a person passed on being very ill with his own addiction, but he had a lot of faith, and he had his own understanding of religion. So he come back, and he was very young and vibrant. Pat, have you ever had an experience about, you know, knowing someone who's passed on, and they were quite elderly in years and very weak, but when they came back to you, they were very young and very vibrant? Do you have any experiences like that?
Many. Many, John. A lady came into the church the other day, and she said, "I really need some help." And Bob was talking to her, and he said, "Well, let me bring you over to my wife." So I said, "Well, how can I help you?" So she said, "Well, my sister lost her son, and I asked how old the son was roughly, and she said, oh, about 50. I said, he had dark hair, didn't he? And she looked at me in amazement, you know, as some people do. And I said, well, if I tell you that he's standing right here with me and he looks about 23, 24, and absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. So this conversation went on, and she said, can you give me something that would just connect my sister to him? I said, well, I said, let me just see. So I said, they're telling me sweets. Well, she looked at me and started laughing, and she said, all he wanted to do all of his life was eat sweets. So if that isn't proof, A, that we connect with the people on the other side, that they can be any age they want to be. And I said, you just tell your sister, he's rock dead gorgeous.
What do you think about that, Robert?
I've seen her do that multiple times.
Yes.
And always be accurate and watch the amazement in people's eyes.
Beautiful. You know what the good news is? Age is a temporary situation.
Absolutely.
That's the good news. Okay, we're going to send out a healing prayer. We always like to do a little bit of healing on the program.
So if you focus your mind, get centered, we ask the great unseen healing force to remove all obstructions from our bodies and minds and to restore us to perfect health. We ask this all in sincerity and honesty, and we will do our part. We ask this great unseen healing force to help both absent and present ones who are in need of help. We put our trust in the love and the power of God. As we were saying, Pat, I believe that all forms of mediumship and intuition, and I know you agree with me, is for the purpose of healing people and uplifting people. You know, even in the early Christian churches, they used to stand up and give messages, and they did it for encouragement. And the Bible is called the ability to discern the spirit, and that's what mediumship is all about. Well, we're coming to a close soon. If you would like to call in, you can call in 818-739-8818. That's 818-739-8818 to the Journeys of the Light. Now, let me just talk a little bit about Lily Dell. Again, you can go onto the Lily Dell website at lilydellassembly.com. That's lilydellassembly.com. And there will be a list of all the different workshops that are going on this summer. There is approximately 50 mediums that work there. It is the largest spiritualist community in the world, and people from all around the world come there to learn and to develop. Pat, tell us a little bit about your church. Is there any special programs? You said that you were part of a college and educational institute. Tell us a little bit about that, Pat.
Well, people can come to our church and learn anything from mediumship, from chakras, from healing, anything at all.
Beautiful. You have a crystal bed.
Oh, yes.
Tell us about your crystal bed from John of God.
Well, we don't just have the crystal bed, the John of God crystal healing bed, John. It was Bob's idea to put the amethyst biomat underneath.
Beautiful.
And people just love it, absolutely love it. We have people coming through there all day. Whenever we're open, we never know who's going to walk through our doors. And one thing that, because we're a charity, I try and keep it very reasonable. The cost is $20 for half an hour, which is cheaper than anywhere.
Yes, because most of the places it's actually $50 for a half an hour. So it's $100 an hour. So that's amazing that you open that up to the community, Pat.
Well, the reason is that I want as many people as possible to use it, John, and have the benefit of it. One of the things I would like to just say is my website address.
Please.
Which is angelministriesfl.org. The FL is for Florida. So that anybody can go onto our website, John, and look at all of the things that we do offer. We at the moment have a gypsy working with us who's a purebred gypsy, and he's doing tea leaf reading and palmistry, which is new for us. We've never had, I think I've had one palm reader and never had a tea leaf reader. But I'm sure you'll meet him while you're here, John. I know he'll love to meet.
Beautiful, beautiful. You know, reading a palm or reading tea leaves or reading cards or numerology, it's all different forms of divination. But the information comes from the intuitive mind. So everybody has their different spiritual gifts and a way of expressing themselves. And we're so happy that you're very open-minded, Pat, and you have all these different forms of mediumship and intuition, palmistry, numerology, and astrology, and all those things.
Okay. Well, we're coming to a close soon. We have about 10 more minutes. If anyone would like to call in, you can call in at 818-739-8818. To journeys of the light. Pat, where did you start your mediumship way back in England a long time ago? Tell us a little bit about that, because there's actually people from England listening at this time.
Hello, England. How's your weather? I was actually born with the gift, or everybody thought like I did. And it wasn't until probably 10 years ago that I learned that my parents had a lot of problems with me because I used to sit in the garden and talk to my guides and everybody that was around me. And my mother would say, "Who are you talking to?" And I'd just say, "Well, I'm talking to the lady." And she'd say, "Well, there's no lady there." And I'd say, "Oh, yes, there is." And that would be the end of it. I had a French nun that was with me while I was growing up. And I never knew that everybody else couldn't see and hear the same as I did, even my parents. So it was a great shock to me to learn that I was a little bit different.
Were you the only one in the family like that?
Oh, yes.
I was the only one in the family like that. Also, there's Bill Robert, there's one in every family. There's one psychic or medium or mystic in every family.
Oh, absolutely.
Did you know that you were going to become the one of your family?
No, but I had a feeling because the person who I had in my family who introduced me to that so many years ago was one of the guys that I mentioned, my grandmother. It turned out as we grew up, she was a palm reader. She was an astrologer. And from the time we were born, she tracked and charted our lives for her. But she grew up in a section of the United States that she could never admit this, growing up in the early 1900s. So we didn't realize for all these years the connection that we had. But the connection's always so true. They always show. They always come out. So I knew from what she had told me that every one of our lives could be led and followed in a path that all we had to do was once again was to our spirit. So definitely is in our family. The only thing I think I found that I would add to it, every one of us has this ability. How we develop it, how we grow with it, is a path that we choose. Being born with it is a gift. It doesn't mean that we don't have this gift. So I'll close with that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, I did forget, John, just one thing. My great-grandmother was the local medium and card reader where I was born in Cambridge, in a place called Somersham. And she, I believe, everybody came to her. And I wasn't told that until later on. So obviously, it jumped two generations and got me and nobody else.
I believe that my foster mother was also the medium or the mystic in our family, and I still feel her around quite a lot. Pat, what is the ad? Here we are in Venice, Florida. Tell us again the address of your church and the times and some of the activities that are going to come on this coming week.
Okay, the address is 2269 South Tamiami Trail in Venice, Florida, 34293. Our phone number is 941-492-4995. If you'd love to call us, we'd love to hear from you. We have a store that we opened about 3 years ago where you can come and buy all sorts of metaphysical things and a few other things. And that our store hours there are from 10 till 3 a day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday we have 10 till 1 and then 4 till 7 o'clock. And 4 till 7 is our free healing clinic. As I said, we get many people through. Then on Thursday, it's again 10 till 3. We're closed on Fridays, Saturday 10 till 3. And then, of course, we have our Sunday services, 10 till whenever we finish, and 6:30 till whenever we finish. And our mediums and our healers are always busy, busy working for you.
Okay.
How's that? And, of course, John White will be with us this Saturday. He starts work at 1 o'clock, and he'll be doing until 5. That's two workshops, 2 hours at a time.
And that's coming Saturday.
This Saturday.
Okay.
I'll put you back to John.
Okay. Thank you. So come and visit me at the, and Pat and Robert at the Angels Ministry.
And he will be giving free messages tomorrow night and speaking at the Thursday evening service and on Sunday morning at the Sunday morning service from 10 till whenever.
I'll be speaking on the Sunday morning service?
Yes, you will.
What a joy. I love, 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 love to do that. Thank you very much. Okay, now, again, this is Lilydale Radio. Come and visit us, and come visit me and Pat and Robert while we're here in Venice, Florida. And also stop by and come and visit us during the summertime in Lilydale, the city of light. Einstein said, it's all energy, that's all there is to it. Create the frequency, the reality you want, and you cannot help but to create that reality. It could be no other way. This is not philosophy, it's physics. It's all energy, it's all frequency. So when you meditate, you get into a higher form of frequency, and then you develop the different gifts of the spirit. And like when Pat and Robert and myself are saying, we all have spirit guides that work around us, and when you get to know who they are, we have family members that are always with us, and when you get to know who the people that walk with you and talk with you and inspire you every day, it'll make your path a little bit easier as you go through life. So join me again next week at 8 o'clock for Journeys of the Light, coming to you right now on the road in Venice, and next week we'll be somewhere else in Florida, and come and visit us. Again, Pat, one more time, what is the address of your church here in Venice?
The Angel Ministries, 2269 South Tamiami Trail in Venice, Florida, 34293. And did you want the phone number,
well,
John?
Yes, please.
Again, it's 941-9492. I've forgotten my own phone number, sorry.
That's okay.
492-6779.
492-6779. I've lost it. Okay. Well, just come and visit us at the Angels Ministry. It's possible to be lonely, but it's impossible to be alone. Thank you. There we go, kid.
You're very good at that, John. Oof. You're very good.
Well, we got a California call and we got a New York call.
That's it. Are you going to have some something?
Yeah. Thank you.
I'll move that stuff off of there and you can have some. I have so many phone numbers, John, you have no idea. Don't think that could be fun.
You look very good, darling. Can I get you a drink? You're a born radio talker. You should have your own show, a TV show as well.
Well, actually, in the summertime, any television show. The summertime, you will. Well, you have a few people. You're on YouTube at the same time.
Sorry?
You're on YouTube.
Right.
You're on Facebook. Formerly, basically, you'd be doing a show, and plus people could see you on Facebook. So I'm going to do that. And in the summertime, I could do it on my front desk on Facebook.
Right. Right. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, it's weird out there, but
really?
Yeah,
it's
wrong. Yeah, the
outside,
all over the place.
I think there's been a lot of
sunflare. People are out there with like a giant nightlight. Intellectuals. Your talk is going to be different. It's going to be geared
keep it on a level and you're talkable on that line, they get it. And they kind of ask more. And to me, that's how you grow more. You can go in and give somebody a lecture so high level that so much happens that their mind closes down. They don't know how to absorb it because they don't have the experience to allow to do it. So to me, that's how you help.
I put one of my ministers, and she was, what did Melissa do? She was Kevin's paper. She was a.
Kenny?
Melissa.
Well, Melissa, boom, her mom.
Yeah.
So she never knew. So she was able, from a young age, too, that she was able to go to the lectures. She lived in India for a year and went back several more times to learn more. She wasn't staying in some monastery someplace on a mountain for a year.
But the thing being with her, because of her knowledge and her degrees, I said to her right nearby, I said, now I'm going to translate it into English for the layman. I had to cross out all, it was beautifully written, but it was nothing that anybody could read or understand. So, but now I'm going to put it into layman.
I remember being on the radio, and the guy said, how are you doing it anyway? Oh, I turned on the Dream Maker, the translator, it's a lot of like money.
The only difficulty I have in those situations is a lot of times the way I talk and the way I react to specific questions is the hearing liable. And if I could never do that over the medium that you use, unless there's a picture like Skype, I do fine. You can have a neighbor to forever come to the front. But from listening to a problem like that, I wouldn't be able to understand kind of what they're saying. There's no way for me to pick up the visual clues that I need.
Right.
That makes it too difficult. So I always have step past that liability and say, yeah, if I have a couple of people who can help me out, I can do it fine.
Yeah.
But at first, I'm somehow reluctant to step into it.
Partly, like, there's three other mediums that have radio shows. They want me to get 50 of us all of them. 50 different people from one thing that one thing. Anyway, the other thing is, I'm going to do this in the summertime. You put it on Facebook as a good one. So, like, you're live on the air and you can see.
Once you go into that zone, it just comes.
Yeah.
And now with the new haircut. You have all this hair cut off, don't you see?
Or you in the hair. I went to this barber shop, I think, I wanted the crew set. She had to cut our hair.
Okay.
And their style and stuff. I never know what my hair is going to look like. And then she spit on my head.
I know, I spit on my head. I used to do a lot of radio with Kim Cool.
Yeah.
She is one of the local press people. And she's actually used to that. I don't know if she still is the head writer of the Venice Condoleezza. Written many, many books on spirit and ghost stories.
Oh, yeah, I think she's
a
good.
was always getting me involved in radio.
Yeah,
exactly.
How's your book coming along? Actually, I'm really working on it. I realize that I can't get somebody else to do it because someone else has a sense of it.
Well,
no, but I have a. I wait, I say, it's funny, there's an hour a day. Yeah, some kids want.
Good. Because Tammy Pastor, who Paul was just speaking about, in the last year has produced 28 books, and they're all bestsellers. Oh, yeah.
You did. Yeah, I'll be self-publishing.
Yeah. You should really talk to a John Pastor. This woman is
incredible. She goes all over San Diego. She does a lot of Facebook Live. Invited to speak at Harvard Business School.
I was impressed.
Yeah.
And there was a time when she was at the church with no roof. Her roof was leaking, and she got a crappy job and traveled. I've seen her go from this to this. And she's becoming such a celebrity. Everybody knows. And that's what, you know, she's invited all over the country. And I gave her a message on Sunday, she was back speaker. And I gave her a message. And it was me that told her that she was listening to my dad. And I said, and don't think that you're only going to be traveling in the U.S. because you're not.
You know, it's pretty easy to get your own radio show these days.
Yeah.
I don't pay anything for it. Blooms don't pay for it.
That's brilliant, Jack. Brilliant. But what she earns some money by helping people to publish not just their books, their businesses. She's so much into public.
She got on the crest of the wave for social media for that. And that if she takes people and she gets them on all these different venues like the radio program and things like that, she connected with some of the biggest outlets that have really good, strong following. And she'll promote your book or your show or whatever. She takes you on a class. Of course, you get together for a fee.
Yeah.
And then she says, hey, and she'll get you across the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And see, her client base keeps growing. She went like that from
Crackpot.
She didn't have the money to afford a washer and dryer, and she had a thick piece of property with a leaky roof that wasn't being on anything, so she would go up to call the church of the laundromat, able to load all of her
laundry.
And in that time, she started trying to pass. She didn't like to speak, she didn't like to do any of the stuff.
She didn't give messages. I got her started giving messages.
And she just, in the Church of Water, started to do the math and stop looking for a fast over. I'm tired of it. I'm going to get out of my shell and go on. And I'm going to be stuck. The manifestation and all that took place. She accepted the fact that, you know, she was a divorced mother with three grown kids, tired of not following the path she was following. She stepped out of the box.
She used to turn up when she first came to me. You know, I get her speaking on the Thursday evening service or the Sunday service. She'd be kind of slung together. Now she comes in, she's beautifully dressed. I mean, she's no dolly bird, but she's there, she's smart. She got a speaking teacher. When she was going to be invited to Harvard, she thought she'd better shape up and talk about a success story. I just love it. And she's published 28 books in a year. She published these books now where it's all women. And she did interview these women, and they paid about $400 to be in this book. And they had who they were, what they were, you know, about them. And she, I don't know how many she put in each book, but she's just finished publishing eight volumes. Now, you know this, and they all became number one sellers because that's her game. She could make a number one seller like that.
She got that on the progressive way, the women empowerment, the there's no reason can't do that. But she compiles this information and she puts it into a volume, so there may be 10 different enterprises or businesses in that volume. How they got there, how they were successful, what they're doing. And it goes out of there, and they're well read. And range of organizations. You get to hear the stuff that I like about it, you get to hear the story for more and more seconds. Not a single author's idea, it's multiple authors' idea, but of how they got where they're going.
It's all good, just
power.
So what else has been going on at the Church of the Angels?
Well, this is our last again. I've been Sunday morning too.
Yes. You're not doing something.
I'm just going to find out. Okay, just something.
You do whatever you want.
Let the demons stop. I forget his name.
How many years have you been on it?
At the first
of the AM, so there should be no surprise about how long it's going. You just have to do what I understand. And you get up in the morning and you say, what the chief says to you, John, what are you doing today? Your answer should be, you haven't told me yet.
That's what I Now, I transferred you from Sunday evening to Sunday morning because, first of all, we get a lot more. We run the Sunday morning.
Yeah, we switch. We don't do the Sunday.
Okay.
She's moving to Tennessee.
Okay.
So I looked to all the congregation she had, and I said, there's not one of them either. So I said, okay, and Melissa, I think Spirit had told me that Melissa needed to take the Sunday evening
bread.
So we moved to the Sunday morning.
You have a good crowd, sorry.
And I had Sheila calling everybody, and
you're one of the three. The other one that one day.
And that's without anybody turning up. And what we've done now is we've expanded what we do, and most people pay online. Oh, so there's not a queue of 20 people anymore. We've joined the new era. Since Bobby came into my world.
Well, I just started pushing it.
knowing me, the church knew how to do before I left. So we got about, right now, about 50-60% back online. So if that working right,
the money's in the bank.
The money's in the bank. You know, you get the discount from the PayPal, and they take a little chunk of the bread. But it's better than what we were doing before because we had people coming in time, and then 3 or 4 would show up, or whatever.
Yeah.
So we had $0.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody doesn't show up, we try to be nice to them and say, we don't penalize them that much, having a family or anything.
Okay. Okay.
And here, you still have your cat?
Thank you.